Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You might recall when the month of April started, the name of the day was called Liberation Day. It was lots of concern and, dare I say, catastrophe on the markets and from a macroeconomic point of view, where just over a month ago, we were talking about Donald Trump as well as the trade war that had been implemented. What was dubbed as reciprocal tariffs being listed by President Donald Trump of the United States, highlighting several countries where he had looked to impose heightened levels of tariffs in order to manage trade effectively. China was probably the biggest recipient of these reciprocal trades tariffs, and it was a back and forth that proved to rock not only the global equity space, but caused a heightened level of uncertainty as to what the ripple effects could be, especially when it comes to inflationary concerns. We now know that a meeting took place over the weekend in Switzerland, where representatives of both the US and Chinese governments seem to have made progress to ease the tensions and slash the tariffs in what has been seen as a trade war, potentially so. Azaya Mhlanga, Chief Economist and Head of Research at RMB, joins us now to give us some insight into the potential outcomes and, most importantly, consequences we need to be mindful of. Azaya, such a pleasure to speak to you as always, sir. Thank you so much for making time.
Always a pleasure to speak with you and your listeners, Gugu.
Fantastic. I must tell you, when I saw the headline this morning, I wasn't too sure if I should believe it or dub it as fake news. But either way, it really comes as a significant sigh of relief for many global market participants. But let's contextualize the conversations that took place this past weekend between the US and China. What stood out for you?
Look, I think we have to go back and just think about the levels of tariffs that have been implemented globally, whether they were sustainable or not. They were not sustainable to start with. And we saw the bond markets respond quite negatively, which means the bond vigilantes have already given a judgment to say these levels of tariffs are actually quite recessionary for the U.S. economy. They are recessionary for the global economy. So there is no way they could be sustained without having a significant damage to the U.S. economy. Hence, we saw the suspension of the reciprocal tariffs for 90 days. So our assumption has been, come July 1, where we have to see either the continuation of the suspension or the restatement of the tariffs, we're expecting a reprieve, essentially continuing the suspension.
Question I can imagine many investors, clients and participants must be asking you, and even having discussions around at the dinner table, what does this mean for business as well as for economic fundamentals when it comes to inflation?
Obviously, a reversal of the tariffs between the two largest economies is a welcome positive development, which means from a growth perspective, it's positive for equity markets. It's positive. You have seen many South African stocks that have recovered that are linked to China's economic growth or commodities. Not so great for gold because, you know, it's used as a hedge against these risks. But if you look across many of the domestic staples that are linked to the Chinese economy and global growth, they have recovered. That's quite positive. We have to expect that the levels of reciprocal tariffs that we announced are not sustainable. Therefore, this is a walking back of Donald Trump from, you know, sort of crazy policy making that we have seen in the sense of the tariffs.
100%. These negotiations are certainly a turnaround from what we saw from the public spat that ensued between the US and China. Mm. So much so that following the reciprocal tariffs, we saw a plethora of TikToks around fake goods or goods that is manufactured in China from all these international companies. And now that we've seen this development come through, I did see a headline that South African trade officials are expected to meet with their US counterparts next week. Given the update between the United States and China, what does this mean for our trade negotiations and conversations with the U.S.? Do we have any ammunition and powder that we've kept dry that we can use to our advantage?
Look, first, it is to say that the U.S. remain a key trading partner of South Africa in the same way that the Chinese are a key trading partner. So We shouldn't be forced to trade with one or the other. We should trade with both countries and maximize our trade levels with both countries. Secondly, we do have commodities that the U.S. require that can only be obtained to a large extent from our own economy. If you think about the platinum group metals, for instance, over 70% of that comes from South Africa. So there is no way you can source those sort of products from any other country, which means we'll have to continue to supply the U.S. Indeed, if you consider that some of the tariffs on platinum and related metals were suspended, it simply tells you that there is a need to continue to supply those into the U.S. market. So we do have something to offer the U.S. But also, if we look from a U.S. perspective, there are other policy measures which they have, you know, highlighted. If you just look at the executive order that was signed by Donald Trump, which are key policy decisions of South African policymakers, which are unlikely to be reversed. I think the key here is to make the trade a lot more fair and at arm's length. Perhaps part of the discussion should be about AGOA, if AGOA is going to be extended and whether South Africa becomes part of it, continues to be part of it. First prize would be for South Africa to remain part of AGOA, but failing of which there have to be, you know, initial discussions on a bilateral trade agreement that will be at an arm's length and not necessarily at the behest of the U.S.
100%. How I wish to be a fly on that wall to see how things do develop. But to close off with, Isaiah, this is something that you've often commented on, and I guess it's another way of educating us as South Africans around the intricacies, but the very close relationship between politics and economics. And given the shifts that we've seen globally in terms of political power and even the rhetoric that Donald Trump has brought to the market, how should we be reading this? And I guess what are the lessons and learnings once again around how closely tied political economy is just for a level of certainty for members of the investment community?
I think what we have learned over the last couple of years, even in the first term of Donald Trump, is that politicians have a significant influence in terms of policy outcomes, but also policy outcomes that are not well informed by data and evidence that can be very disruptive to economies. The sentiment impact is quite big. The business confidence is also quite huge in terms of their impact on the underlying economic conditions. And they take quite a bit of time to reverse once you have decimated institutions. And the third one, it is to say, build the institutional framework of a country so that it's strong enough to withstand some of the political developments that would happen over a short space of time. Your institutional framework will help where you have certain institutions that are mandated and tasked to carry out certain functions without undue influence from political leaders that might be there for a term. That would save countries over the long term.
Definitely. Azar, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Truly appreciate your insight as always, and looking forward to seeing how things do develop and further conversations we'll have on the back of this. Thank you again for your time.
Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Azar Mhlanga, Chief Economist and Head of Research at RMB, helping us unpack the latest development that we see regarding the trade relations between the U.S. and China. Just to help you understand, well, reduction in those tariffs, Chinese imports will now fall from 145% to 30%, whilst China's tariffs on U.S. goods will drop from 125% to 10%. As a result, U.S. Treasury yields are soaring. There's hope that the U.S. will be able to sidestep a recession. And of course, that this does bode better for confidence when it comes to investors looking to put their money into U.S. Treasuries and buy U.S. debt. A lot is going on, but it does give us a renewed level of confidence that we see in the market. And if anything, hopefully this reminds you of a conversation we've had months ago, reflecting on the difference between this particular market fallout in comparison to other years, whether it be COVID, the global financial crisis, or even earlier crises of the 90s and 80s. All those were other haphazard events that actually spoke to the demise of certain businesses, a healthcare pandemic. But this year has really been volatile because of the rhetoric shared by one particular individual, which is Donald Trump. So, again, showing the level of influence he has, either causing panic or calm to the market.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.